Good morning. We are certainly blessed with a good number of people that are gathered here this morning to worship God and to serve Him faithfully, and we're encouraged by all of you being here this morning. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 130 in verse 1 will echo very similar words for us. Psalm 130 in verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. My soul waits. We had a sermon request that was placed in the box in the credenza in the back just a week or so ago. And so this lesson is going to address the question that was given to us. The question is actually based on God's plan and how His plan may not be what we can fully understand. And yet the Scriptures tell us to wait. This lesson is offered to help one of our members who has a dear friend who they are concerned about, that they are troubled with life as it is, and many of us are, the way things are going, the confidence that they should have in the Lord that they know they should have, and yet it seems to be waning, and even the confidence in themselves. And so we've all been there. All of us have certainly felt that way. So I've titled the lesson, My Soul Waits. I think this is instrumental to that moment in time when you're waiting on the Lord, you need something to happen, you're depending on Him, maybe your faith is getting weaker, you're troubled about what's happening in your life in this moment, that there is a reminder in Scripture continually. I've read from two passages already that say, wait on the Lord. One thing we have got to notice about the Lord and His character is that He takes His time. He always takes His time, not just in dealing with us, but generally. The Lord God of heaven and earth is not in a hurry. The fact is, frequently the reason that my plan isn't in line with God's is because He's not in a hurry and I am. I want it to come. I want it to happen. I need it now. And He is very slow in His movement in a general sense. Not always, but He's always, not always, but He is very slow when He moves. And so we have passages that we read to give us strength and courage. My soul waits on the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will continue to wait. Those who wait upon the Lord. What is the famous passage that we're all familiar with and have certainly read through? We have a song that says, Teach me, Lord, to wait. Isaiah chapter 40, if you'll turn there with me. There's a great promise from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Isaiah 40 and 28 says, Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we read it and we say, Lord, I will wait. I am waiting for you to mount me up on eagle's wings so that I can soar through the sky because I depended on you, because I waited. We love passages like this when we're in a time like that because we say, Dear God, help me to wait. Teach us all to wait, dear Heavenly Father. We know, dear Lord, that you will never faint, that you never grow weary. Teach us to wait. We got a serious problem. We have a serious problem. We've already read the passages together. I've already shared with you that the Lord will be generally slow in His movement. He is in no hurry at all. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. You ever noticed how much we hate waiting? I want to submit to you this morning that no one, this is never going to happen in your life, no one ever will come to you and say, "Man, I got to wait at the DMV all day on Tuesday. It was awesome. They were having trouble with their computers, and most of us didn't get any help at all. So I had this ticket number." No, I'm telling you, this is great. I had this ticket number, and I was waiting to be called, and they went past my number. So I was like, "Oh, awesome." And so I went up, and I talked to somebody and said, "Hey, I think you missed my number." So they type it in, and they looked it up, and they said, "Yes, you were skipped. It didn't register in our computers. Here's a new number." And I was like, "Yes, this is cool." So I went and I sat down some more, and they told me when they were ready to close that they weren't able to serve me that day, and I need to come back tomorrow. Can you believe it? It was amazing. So the next day I go in and I'm waiting. And so I finally go up to a place where I'm going to be helped. And the lady who was sitting there at the desk, I thought she was dead because she wasn't moving. But finally she moved. And I was so relieved that she was not dead and that she was willing to help me. And so I was able to get my new license on the second day. It was great. You need to go there and check it out. They say my license will be ready in 3 months. You should go to the DMV. By the way, if anyone here works for the DMV, I'm sorry. That's just the way I see it. We don't have to pick on the DMV alone, do we? Because the problem's with us. We don't like to wait. Anybody here enjoy automated phone service? When I hear that computer start to talk to me, I say, Representative. Representative, and they say, "We understand that you'd like to speak to a representative." Representative, and they say, "If you'd like us to help you a little better, can you give us some information?" And so we do that, don't we? We give them the information they want, and we finally get to a human being, and they ask for the same information. What is the automated service there for? It's more like automated phone suffering, not phone service or automated phone torture. Anybody enjoy waiting at the doctor's office or maybe making a phone call to the doctor's office? Remember, we pay our doctors. We pay our doctors to care for us and to help us. In my doctor's office, when I call it, the first thing it says is, "If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. If and only if you are a physician, press star. I am so tempted to do that. If and only if you're a physician, press star. If you're one of our patients, wait. That's what it says. Wait. You have reached the office. We are trained and taught not to wait. I want you to understand this with me. We've read passages together that says, those who wait on the Lord, they will be mounted up with eagle's wings. We know that and we believe that, and yet this world is not built that way. We hate it. We have phone apps. We have Amazon. We have pizza delivery, and they've all done us a great disservice. We want it now, and we have every right to complain if we don't get it now. McDonald's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, you know, all the good ones. They have meals that just have numbers next to them. I wanted to do this before I presented this lesson so I could share my experience. I still want to do it, but I'm going to go to the McDonald's drive-thru and just go, "One." And see what happens. I realize there's a small problem because they're still going to need to know what I want to drink, but I'm going to try it. I'm just going to say one until they give me the number one, because it is that easy. It is that simple, and we want it now. Now, I have a note here in my notes that says, "Slow down, Danny." Because I need to say something to you that's important. We don't like to wait. Waiting on the Lord tests our daily discipleship. God wants us to wait on Him. He wants us to be settled and to know that He knows what's best. No matter what. That's not the way we're wired. That's not the way we're geared typically. And yet the Lord says, "Wait on me. You shall be rewarded in profound ways. Trust me. Trust me." So the Lord, He is steady, He is slow, and He is true. it starts right in the very beginning. If you start in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, we can read that together. Genesis chapter 3, I just want us to take note. We're going to watch the Lord here in the very beginning in the way that He moves, the way that He operates. Genesis 3 and verse 14. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is a prophecy about the Son of God who will come to the earth and give his life. This is in Genesis chapter 3. You know how long we're going to have to wait for that? The prophecy was given here. We're going to have to wait about 4,000 years for that to develop, to transpire, so that we can see it and to know that God kept his eternal word. The Lord, in general, moves very slowly as we look to him and as we think about him. Abraham was promised at the age of 75 that he would have a son. And from his son, all nations would be blessed. Do you know how long he waited? 75. He's told he's going to have a child. He waited 25 years. He did not have Isaac until he was 100 years old. God brought Isaac forth from the dead, as it were, and God wanted it that way. Abraham was forced to wait on the Lord. And he did. He's a great example for us. He did wait on the Lord. What about Joseph? My heart goes out to Joseph because he was thrown in prison and he didn't deserve to be there. He was in prison for 2 years. He sat there. He was innocent. 2 years he waited in prison and he was faithful to God through that entire process. Hannah is another one I think we overlook and we don't think about the way the Lord moves and the way that he moves slowly. Remember, Peninnah is the other wife of Hannah's husband. And the Bible tells us that she had several sons and daughters. So Hannah's watching these children be born to Peninnah, and she has none, and it breaks her heart. She goes to the temple in Shiloh and prays to God, "Please give me a child. Please open my womb." The Lord will do that, but he'll do it in his time and for his purpose. And we thank God that he did. Samuel's born. None of Peninnah's children are given to us by name. We just know that she had a lot of sons and a lot of daughters. And yet Samuel, the judge of the nation of Israel, he came when God was ready. Don't you see that the Bible shows us continually that we're going to have to gear ourselves toward this idea of waiting and being patient with the Lord? David is told that he'll be king in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and he waits several years. He runs from the current king and runs for his life repeatedly. And the Lord had already told him he would be king. Why did it happen instantly? Isn't that what we want? If I'm king, then let me be king. He waited. And we watched David's life, and we watched the way the Lord worked on him. The Lord chipped away at David's life, his framework and who he was. Yes, he was a faithful shepherd, but the Lord needed to show him some things before he sat on that throne to lead God's people. And so he walks him through that treacherous path to learn about himself, to learn about God's people, and how to truly rule a nation with humility. It's God's plan. Yes, we want it now, but it may not be what's best for us, and we have to be okay with that. I think about Joshua and Caleb. They wandered 40 years with the rest of those Israelites who rebelled against God. They were faithful. They wanted to go into the land, and God says, "No one's going in." Caleb and Joshua are stuck with these faithless people for 40 years before he finally will move and bring his people into the land that he promised. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I had said that God moves very slowly. That's typically the way that he works and the way that he moves to accomplish his will. But there are times, I want to give you a couple, there are times when he moves instantly. I want you to understand that he's not slow. It's not that he can't, or that he has trouble getting up. It's not that. He moves with purpose. He moves according to his own will, and much of this we do not understand. Nadab and Abihu will offer profane fire before the Lord in worship sacrifice to God, and the whole nation is there. The fire of the Lord comes down from heaven and consumes them in a moment because they offered profane fire to God and they did not reverence God the way they should. They did not sanctify God before the people. He did not wait. He burned them instantly. What about Uzzah? Uzzah and Ahio are bringing the cart up, the cart of the Lord, the cart with the ark of the Lord on it. The oxen stumble. Uzzah reaches out his hand to secure the ark, and the Lord strikes him dead instantly. He did not wait. He's not slow. But this is, in general, who he is. The Lord chooses to move slow. He is slow, steady, and he is sure. I want to share with you also that when you get to the New Testament, he is the same in the New Testament. There is prophecy concerning salvation of the Gentiles in the book of Psalms, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah. The minor prophets mention that all nations will come to God and be blessed by the seed of Abraham. All of the Gentiles will be brought in. The wall of enmity will be torn down. God prophesied of these things. So, in Acts chapter 2, the gospel's preached. We know when we watch that take place that only Jews were saved. If you look at the book of Acts and you read through it, you're going to have to get all the way to chapter 10 before the Gentiles were introduced into the kingdom of God. You see, the Lord did not move quickly. That's about 10 years or more that that took before the Gentiles were brought in. You would think the Lord, after prophesying of this, once the salvation was made available to all men, that he would say, let's go get us some Gentiles. But he doesn't. 10 years. 10 years. Who am I? Who am I to have a lack of patience with God, who has shown me over and over and over again that he is in full control, he will get it done, and I should wait on the Lord? Luke chapter 18, Jesus will tell those whom he's talking to that we should depend on the Lord, wait on the Lord, and not lose heart. Luke chapter 18, in verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, why would Jesus need to give us a parable about losing heart? Because we have trouble waiting. Because we want it, and we want it now. Down in verse 7, after the parable concludes, Jesus says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's the question for us. If I'm having trouble with the Lord, back to the question that was posed, having trouble depending on the Lord and fully resting in his promise, and just trusting that he's right and that it's true, Jesus knows that. He's the Son of God. And he says, I want to tell you something that you need to know and to think about, because God will avenge his children speedily. And yet Jesus points out the fact that they're crying out to him. What's the problem? Jesus is saying to us that when my God and my Father moves, it's going to be quick. The parable is so that we would not lose heart, that we would remember to pray. If you're having trouble with your faith today, you feel weak, and there's some things going on that you just can't figure out, you need God in a special way. He's not providing that for you. Go to God in prayer. Talk to him. Tell him in your prayer, I will wait. He knows. He knows what's going on. He knows every detail of your life. He knows the trouble you are in. He's moving in your life. He's working with you. He's working on you. We don't always know why we are where we are. But what a great statement for a faithful, humble servant to say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I know what you said. I trust you. I believe you. I'm going to wait. Those who wait on the Lord in the New Testament will see some things that happen for them when they decide to do that. James chapter 1. Is a place where James will mention our need for patience, that we would be able to endure and persevere difficulty. James chapter 1 and verse 2, James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Again, this flies in the face of a society who wants everything now. But James says by inspiration, we know that the testing of our faith produces patience, and that patience, through this difficult process, through these trials, patience will have its perfect and complete work, and we will lack nothing. There's nothing left for us to do but to wait on the Lord now. When we depend on these passages and what they say to us, that I'm in a moment of trial, I'm in a moment of darkness and of fear, and yet He's told me to wait because my patience is being tested. Well, we know that. We can feel our patience being tested. But it works something out of us. It develops us into the child of God that He wants us to be when He calls us perfect. It's hard. It's a difficult lesson. It's a difficult topic, and yet the Lord says, wait. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul's going to mention tribulation here as well. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. This must be a misprint. No, the Lord means what He says. We, disciples of Jesus Christ, understanding that the process of waiting is good for us. We glory in these tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts and has made us to know that we can glory in our tribulations, knowing that this develops something within us. Yes, they are difficult, and yes, they are hard. But I hope you see with me that as Christians, with this understanding, we're far different than the unbeliever. The unbeliever who is going through tribulations and difficulty and perseverance, they are furious. They are troubled. They don't want it anymore. They don't understand why. And yet we, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts, go, okay, I know what's happening. God's told me why this takes place and why I too must go through it to follow His Son and to be more like Him. We all want to be like Jesus. And the Lord says, I want you to be like my Son too. Now do these things. That's when the trouble starts. We need to be patient. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to depend on Him with our lives. I want to show you another place. I think this is so important for us. I think this is a great way to conclude this topic. If we are worried about our faith in God, our confidence in ourselves, that there is difficulty, we're going through tough times, we do not like it, we want to be removed from it, we're crying out to God and nothing is changing, maybe even getting worse. Again, the Lord moves slowly. He knows who you are, He knows where you are, but He is doing something. Hebrews 11, watch this. These are the great characters of faith. They put me to shame. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. People were tortured, and they would not accept the deliverance from the torture because they believed God. Wait. Wait on the Lord. He'll do the right thing. Here they are. They're showing us they were not saved in that moment. They were tortured to death. And they're held up for us to know that it is a right and good thing to wait on the Lord. They wanted to obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. You see what God said about them? These people, these godly, faithful people, waited on the Lord. They knew Him in prayer. They cried out to Him, and some of them were tortured, stoned, and sawn in two. Why didn't He move? If he knows them, he knows that these things were going to happen to them. Why did he not pull them out? I want to tell you something that I believe with all my heart. God fully expects us to commit ourselves to the relationship of love. To choose him. Not just on the surface in a comfortable building and say, okay, I guess I believe. Not that. To choose him. When wicked men stand before you and say, you will die if you do not take away his name from your life. If you will not accept that there is no Lord, there is no God, there is no Savior. They were tortured, they were stoned, and they died. God says, look at them. The world was never worthy to know them. That's the God we wait on. He's shown us what it looks like to be faithful and how hard it is. He knows who they are, and he's shown us their great faith. When difficult times come, and they will, you keep breathing, your heart keeps beating, it's coming. It's just part of life. It's coming. Wait. Wait. Show the people around you in your life, the young people especially. God is righteous. He is just. He knows my name. My name is written in the book of life, and I will wait through this. I'm not here for this. I'm here so I can go be with him. What a perspective. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Wait on the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to obey the gospel, we'd love to see you do that. He is righteous. He is just. He will move. And Jesus told us he will move quickly when it's time. Don't leave him out of your life. Bring him into your life. Call upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put him on in baptism. Repent of your sins. Live a life of faith and know that God's going to bring you home. The world's not worthy of those who call upon the name of the Lord. If we can help you, come forward while together we stand and sing.